Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and I hope you'll take advantage of all the other cool things on our websites. Oh, by the way, there's one new thing that I want to tell you about. On the schedule, on our website, the this week's schedule has a list of all the people who are on the show this week. Well, after they're on the show, the morning after they're on the show, you can click on the little speaker beside their name and hear the archive of that, just that interview. So now if you hear someone like Jim Donovan's on right now, he's waiting on me right now. Sometime later in the day, if you want to go back and just listen to Jim, not the whole replay, but just Jim's interview or any of the others, click on that little speaker and you can hear just that archive. How about that? That's a new feature. That's one of those new features I've been telling you that we were working on. So that's available right now in the schedule on the left side of the website at jbsba.com. Jim Donovan is our guest. He's a good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Actually, he's an original member. And he's the author of many books, including Reclaim Your Life, Handbook to a Happier Life. This is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. And he's our good friend. Jim Donovan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And also, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, many of you know the lovely and talented Georgia Donovan, who Jim was lucky enough to snag a few years back. And so I always would like to congratulate you on that, Jim.
Yeah, that was a good move on my part.
Yeah,
that
was, wasn't smart. It?
She had air conditioning and she could cook and she had frequent flyer miles. I said, I got to marry this one.
You're like me, Jim. You married up.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, you got to marry up. Yeah.
That's right.
She's good. She says hi.
Yeah, she's a great lady. Jim, one of the things that you've been talking about lately, because I know you got a new audio program out called Take Charge of Your Destiny.
I do.
What's the difference in taking charge of our life and taking charge of our destiny?
Well, they're probably, I don't want to mince words, they're probably pretty close, but you're taking charge of your destiny. It's like, okay, where am I going? What am I here for? What do I want to really create with my life? What's the life that I was born to live? That's kind of the subtitle. And there's actually a book that's been out in Japan for a year and a half, and it's available in limited distribution here. It's only available on my website. There is a paperback, Take Charge of Your Destiny, How to Create the Life You Were Born to Live, is the subtitle, and that's kind of where it's coming from. It's like we're here for something, and it's up to us to figure out what that is and to create that. And my ideal and my what took me a number of years to get to, but I've accomplished it, is to get to a place where I am doing something that I would do whether I got paid or not, that I absolutely love to do, that I do when I have nothing to do, when I take time off and go sit on the beach, and then I found a way to get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the ultimate in work, is to find something that you just do because you can't imagine not doing it.
My mother,
and then find a way to get somebody to pay you to do that.
My mother has told me many times before, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
That's it. Exactly. I mean, we go, and I'll sit on the beach, and about 10 minutes after I'm sitting there watching the waves and watching the babes and all of this stuff, I pull out a pad and a pen, and I start writing something. And I've kind of created that to a place after a number of years where that writing then supports me.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jim, I wrote an article one time about stopping and smelling the roses.
Uh-huh.
And I pointed out that a lot of times people will come up to a small business owner like you or me and say, you know, you really ought to stop and smell the roses. And what they don't realize, because they're civilians, they're non-small business owners, they're civilians.
Oh, yeah.
What they don't realize is that maybe working in our businesses, for us, is smelling the roses.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I do take time off because I think we all need mental breaks sometimes. But I would rather be doing what I'm doing than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to writing, because writing is something I can do on the beach. I mean, that's like the best of all worlds to
right.
me. It's like I'm sitting on the beach and I'm working. Like, well, how do you think
your destiny works. You think your destiny is the thing that is closest to what you really love to do? Is that your destiny?
I believe it is, because why would we love to do it if it's not something we're really here to do?
Right.
Why would we have that kind of passion? Why would, you know, this be such a drive? I mean, it's something for me. I started writing way before I ever made any money at it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't my intention. I just wanted to share ideas. If you remember, I started writing my Jim's Gems newsletter in 1991.
Right.
I didn't publish my first book till 96.
Mm-hmm.
I was just writing stuff because I was having a good time doing that.
Right.
And I loved that people liked it. That's all I cared about. So it wasn't like, gee, I'll do this to make money. I was doing other things to make money. And then I realized that the other things were not important.
Very simple. My writing story is very similar to that. You know, I started writing 20 years ago, and to nobody, just for myself.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, then you get to a place.
It doesn't have to be writing. It could be, you could be a farrier. You know, you could shoe horses or whittle whistles out of wood or whatever it might be.
And then I think what happens is you then get to a place where you realize that the work that you're doing to make money is the only reason you're doing that. And then you start looking at, okay, how do I take this stuff that I love to do? How do I take this passion and get paid to do that? And if you can accomplish that, I mean, sometimes it takes a while to make that transition. But I've noticed that when I do that, if I look at where, you know, if I go back and do a what's working exercise, where does my income come from? It invariably, the bulk of it comes from the stuff that I do with passion.
But are you in danger once you start thinking about your passion, once you start thinking about what you call your destiny, in commercial terms, does it take something away? Does it have the danger of the potential to take something away from it?
I don't think so, because I'm still passionate about doing it. I think it just gives me a way to do more of it.
Yeah. I don't know how many times.
The more successful I become, the more books I sell, the more audio programs I sell, the more speaking I do, the more money I have to do more of that. I don't have to chase the dollars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the big breakthrough for me. I don't have to do work just to make money, because that never takes you anyplace. If you're working just for a paycheck, you got to really take a look at that. Zig Ziglar said, if you come to work today because you were here yesterday, you got to take a look at what you're doing.
Well, we're going to take a break in a few seconds, and when we come back, I want you to help us understand how, if we're not doing what we're destined to do full time, we're having to work, you know, we've got obligations, and we find that we're not doing what we really are destined to do. How do we get a little piece of that, and how do we evolve toward that? How do we solve that situation? And we're going to get Jim Donovan to tell us how to do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Jim Donovan, an original member of our Brain Trust, the author of many things, including This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal, which I guess, Jim, that was the very first thing I introduced my audience to way back over 7 years ago.
Okay. It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, it has been a while. And now you got a new product out called, it's a four-part audio program called Take Charge of Your Destiny, right?
Yes, it goes with it. Vic Johnson did it with me. It's available. It's been on my website for about 14 minutes. there's a link through to it. Vic was promoting it off mb3motivators.com. But at jimdonovan.com, there's a link to it there now. And it started out as a four-week seminar, a teleseminar. And then that has a companion book, Take Charge of Your Destiny book, as an e-book. And that is also available now as a paperback. And it's kind of moving in that direction, developing more
product.
Give us your
website, please.
It's www.jimdonovan.com.
All right. So check that out, folks, when you get a chance. You can look at all the other things that Jim has there. And you got a lot of free stuff there, too, don't you?
I got all kinds. Right now I've got some free e-book, free audio download. I've got a free book on a free seminar on successful self-publishing for anybody who's thinking about writing a book. It was
Good.
A program I did at the Learning Annex in New York.
Good.
A lot of freebies on the site right now.
I appreciate that. You're making that available.
Fun.
JimDonovan.com. Jim, here's my question. we're doing some other we have a job, we have obligations, we have, you know, we have teenagers and mortgages and car payments and braces and college funds and all that kinds of stuff like that. But we do know that whether we're successful and, you know, and we're good at what we do, this is what the thing that we're doing is paying the bills, but it's not our destiny. We've determined that it's not our destiny. Mm-hmm. What do? Do we just suck it up till the obligations dwindle and then try to make a move, or do we go part time and move toward this other thing, or what should we do?
I would start by creating the vision. I always start from the vision. No, you always create the picture of it being complete. Create the scene of having exactly what you want. It's like years ago when I lived in New York and I would be on my treadmill in the morning to keep from getting bored. I used to just kind of see myself standing in front of rooms of people speaking. And I wasn't doing any, I had never done any seminars at that point. And I would just start visualizing myself giving seminars. And now I do seminars on a pretty regular basis.
Our mutual friend Mark Allen calls that creating your ideal scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's your, you know, Terry Levine's phrase, technicolor vision. You create a really compelling vision, and you start there, and then you'll start seeing doors open, opportunities will start showing up, all kinds of things will begin happening that will ultimately take you into that picture. You'll get in that. If you can just hold that vision and keep creating that vision, you'll figure out the rest of it on your way.
Are you saying that even though your body keeps showing up for work every day, mm-hmm. and your mind too. I mean, you're not going to slack off. You're not going to not do your job. But are you saying that you also allow your mind to get to wrap around this vision of your destiny, and at least give some brain power, some thought power to that vision, and that over time, just applying your mental capacity toward that over time, it will be revealed to you how to create this?
Sure, because what you're doing is you're forcing your subconscious mind to come up with some new realities. Because your subconscious mind takes whatever command you give it and says, okay, so this is what we're doing. A good example, I had my last car was a four-door sedan. It was a Lexus. It was a beautiful car, don't get me wrong. But I wanted the two-door. I wanted the little sport coupe. And because I had had the four-door a while, we bought it out of a lease.
Well,
and
you're a two-door sporty car.
I need a little zippy thing because I like to get out of the way of things. You know, it's like that's how I survive it. I get out of the way of these big SUVs. And I would be driving the car, literally, I'd be driving down the street in the sedan, and I would be imagining that I was driving the other car, even though I fully appreciated what I had, and I was grateful for what I had, because I remember not having a car and taking buses, so, you know, let's keep it in perspective. But at the same time, I started just envisioning having that car. I spent a little time in the morning seeing that car. Then all of a sudden, I started seeing that model, and it's a model that's hard to find. It's the one they don't make anymore. It's the SC350. 300, rather, and they stopped it in 2000. And I started seeing them. All of a sudden, I'm seeing them everywhere. This is like the rarest car in the world, and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's that reticular activating system that lets you see something that you're focused on. Like you mm-hmm. think red car, and all of a sudden you start seeing a lot of red cars. It's the same thing. You start creating that vision of what you want to do. While you're going to work, you're doing your job, and you're doing your job 100%. I would never tell somebody leave their job and chase their dream. You could starve to death doing that. You want to really have a plan in place. But if you keep creating the vision, the universe will conspire to help you succeed. And those things will happen.
Jim,
things that you could never project will happen.
I've got less than a minute, but I want you to tell the audience why even though you're successful now, it hasn't always been so. Tell us a little bit about that in 40 seconds.
Well, I lived in a car for a while. I mean, that was pretty unsuccessful. I took my life pretty much to the bottom. I was living in a 9x12 room in the South Bronx trying to make a $40 a week rent. And I wasn't making it because I was spending all my money on booze and, you know, riding subways. And I was just about two steps away from being permanently homeless. I was homeless a couple of times in my life. But, you know, so I started kind of from there and got on welfare and then straightened out my life a little bit and did a few things right and started studying. One of the things that made the difference was reading self-help books and listening to audios and going to people's seminars, and I became a student of that, and that's little by little my life changed.
I wanted you to tell that story so people would know that you're not just pontificating from the ivory towers. And you also married well.
I married well. That's
hey,
true.
Thanks for being here.
That's
Jim
I got
Donovan.
The air conditioning.
Thanks, Jim Donovan. JimDonovan.com is the website. See you, Jim, next time. Quick break, right back with Jack Mitchell. We're going to talk some more about hugging our customers. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.